Back with you at The Takeaway, I'm Tanzina Vega. Historically, the Republican Party has been associated with a tough-on-crime attitude. But conservative support was crucial in several criminal justice reform victories on the ballot last week. Bill Hammond is a former Republican member of the Texas State House of Representatives who's dedicated his life to criminal justice reform. He's now the chief strategist for the bipartisan Texas Smart on Crime Coalition. Bill, thanks for joining us on The Takeaway.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on your show.
So is the positioning from a conservative standpoint towards criminal justice reform one that really looks at the fiscal challenges and the fiscal impact that that criminal justice is having or incarceration is having on the United States?
Certainly, that's one perspective. But I think also equally important, or perhaps more so, is what are the outcomes? We lock up people for a long time, and we don't provide them with the services, the training, the education they need. And once again, when they're released, they return to a life of crime, which is just not the outcomes we want.
So let me ask you what you think should be some of the things that need to be implemented to move criminal justice reform forward. What are some of the top issues you think need to be taken on?
Well, I think bail reform is a very important issue. What's happening is too many people are kept in jail who are innocent. They're not guilty. And their lives are destroyed. Not only their lives are destroyed, but they're sitting in jail at great taxpayer expense, and the outcomes are negative. There are many people, many people who would be appropriate to let them leave on their own recognizance, knowing full well that they have an extremely high probability of showing up for trial.
Bill, I want to play something that we hear quite a bit from President Trump. Take a listen.
I will restore law and order to our country. I am the law and order candidate.
But we will also be a country of law and order.
So, Bill, that's the president, obviously, on the campaign trail and beyond, has talked quite a bit about law and order. It's, you know, he's talked about harsh penalties for criminals. He spoke about the death penalty recently after the Pittsburgh shooting. When we talk about law and order, that can sometimes be a racialized dog whistle for certain communities. How do you see the president's perspective in talking about law and order connecting really with criminal justice reform? It just seems like those two things are incongruent.
Well, I think they are. I think that we did extensive polling of Republican primary voters in Texas. In other words, the base, if you will. And they overwhelmingly support many issues in criminal justice reform that we were working for in Texas. So I think there's a disconnect there between what even the Republican primary voters think and what the president is espousing.
We also want to talk a little bit about who is incarcerated in the United States. The vast majority of people who are incarcerated, many of them are men and women of color. These are also largely poor Americans and working class Americans who are incarcerated. So does race and class factor into how you see criminal justice reform?
Well, I mean, I think poverty absolutely figures in. You have situations where people are put in jail awaiting trial. Their lives and their financial situation is being destroyed. They're offered the opportunity to plead guilty to some crime which they may or may not have been guilty of, and they simply plead guilty to get out of jail or shorten their sentence while in prison. That's wrong and shouldn't happen. We know that when people are out on bond, they're much less likely to plead guilty and much less likely to wind up in jail as a result of the crime that they're charged with. So I think those sorts of things are very important. To me, the scales of justice are not in balance in terms of poverty, and we need to do a better job of seeing that the system is more fair to every citizen.
Well, we also know that there are issues. You mentioned bail reform. Cash bail is a huge issue across the country that keeps many people incarcerated before they've even had a chance to have a fair trial. But there's also things like sentencing reform. And once again, on the issue of race, black defendants are often sentenced more harshly and longer than white defendants are. Do you look at that at all and thinking about not just bail reform, but actual sentencing reform?
Well, definitely sentencing report in reform in terms of the sentences that are given out to you know, all the people of America across the board. I mean, we are advocates for probation over incarceration for nonviolent and non-sexual offenses. If someone's on probation, they're in the community, they're working, they're paying taxes, and they're paying child support, or they're involved with their family, which brings about a much better outcome. Many people have the wrong idea that probation is a walk in the park. It simply is not. And it could be used much more effectively. It costs roughly $3 a day versus $50 a day for people who are incarcerated. Also, we think that the sentencing guidelines should be changed so that the judge would take into account if someone is the primary caretaker for young children in terms of whether or not probation is afforded to them.
Is there any room for thinking about how bias plays into the criminal justice system at all in terms of reforming it, in terms of how sentencing is laid out and other issues that affect different communities differently? And is criminal justice reform in your eyes also including reform and of police departments, perhaps, in the way that they're executing their jobs?
Well, I mean, I think that's definitely a situation that needs to be looked into. I think at the same time, the commonality of people who are disproportionately hurt by the system is poverty rather than race. The same is true in other areas of life. And I think that, you know, it's pretty clear that the scales are not balanced as well as they should be for those who come from an impoverished background who can't afford bail or can't afford proper representation before the courts.
How much success have you had trying to bring conservatives into the fold here because of the racial disparities? And I do hear what you're saying as far as class is concerned. Obviously, poor Americans are struggling across the board. But the numbers on race are quite staggering. Does that become an impediment to bringing more conservatives into the fight for better criminal justice reform?
No, I don't think so. In Texas, as I said earlier, in terms of polling of Republican primary voters, once again, the people who elect Republican legislators today in Texas, there is strong support across the board for a more rational criminal justice system that results in better outcomes for society and individuals.
Bill, Dallas residents just elected a new district attorney, John Cruzo, and he's a Democrat and he's more reform-minded on issues like marijuana. Is this something your coalition is hoping to work on with the new DA?
Certainly. We look for support across the board. Several of the district attorneys around the state have taken a more progressive view, especially with marijuana. And as a matter of fact, the governor has suggested that possession of small amounts of marijuana be a Class C misdemeanor instead of a Class B, which would result in a citation rather than an arrest. That would save an awful lot of time for law enforcement and allow them to do, you know, deal with, say, more hardened criminals and result in fewer people going to jail for simple marijuana possession.
When you look at what's happening in the federal government with the highest, if you will, the top cops in the land, how encouraged are you by what you're seeing at the federal level in terms of who's in positions to really make the type of change that you're hoping to see?
Well, I mean, I think you definitely see the White House, particularly Mr. Kushner and others, Brooke Rollins, et cetera, working towards changing some of the situations. There's the First Step Act, which has passed the House this year and is sitting in the Senate. We hope that the Senate will take up the bill. It is a modest reform in terms of time served, et cetera, but it's a step in the right direction. And I think it's a foundation on which hopefully we can build in the coming years to reform the federal system. The length of the sentences obviously is a major problem and a major cost driver. We need to keep in mind how much all of this stuff is costing the average taxpayer. And when we look at that perspective, there are lots of things that need to be done.
And Bill, you know, a couple of years ago, I'm sure you're familiar with this, there was a large initiative that was largely bipartisan, sort of called Ban the Box, which would allow people with criminal records the freedom to not have to disclose that until they had made it through the interview process. What other types of post-incarceration reform are you interested in seeing? And did you support Ban the Box?
No, our coalition is very broad-based, and it did not support Ban the Box. However, we are working, one of our coalition members is Goodwill Industries, and we're working to get funding for a pilot program that would allow prisoners to get out early and engage with Goodwill Industries for a period of time prior to their final release to do things like get them ready for a job search, give them some basic job skills, things of that nature, so in a hope that they would become much more successful when they are finally released.
Could you tell us a little bit more about why you chose not to support Ban the Box?
Well, it was just several of the groups felt like it was an unfair restriction on business. Ban the Box, as you're aware, still results in people having to admit, if you will, their criminal history at a later date after a lot of time and energy has been spent in the interview process. So we felt that the decision would be better made by individual companies as to whether or not they wanted to ban the box.
Mm-hmm. Any other post-incarceration or any other big initiatives that you'd like our listeners to know about?
Well, one for sure is in Texas, 17-year-olds are treated as adults. We are one of the few states left in America today where that's the case. And we are working to improve the juvenile justice system, which has had its problems here in Texas, but also to raise the age to 18. So that 17-year-olds aren't automatically put into the adult system. In any case, regardless of the reform, if we were successful in bringing it to Texas, the judges would still have the ability to designate an individual as an adult. But we feel like it would be an appropriate reform and have better outcomes for those kids.
Bill Hammond is the chief strategist for the Texas Smart on Crime Coalition. Bill, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.